Well, good morning and welcome to another event that we call Mornings for the Master. My name is Chip Horton and I have the privilege to be your host on a regular basis on Wednesdays. And so today being Wednesday, what is this, the 19th now? Good night. It'll be Christmas before you know it. Wednesday, July the 19th. Wow, how time does fly. But welcome. Welcome to the Gospel Radio Network. We hope that you have your Bibles open and are ready to begin a study of God's Word today. We'll be in Psalm 104 through 106. And if I've got my geometry and algebra and all that straight, we got over 100 verses to cover this morning. Being with my skills the way they are mathematically, I can accurately tell you that there's no way to cover all of that. So, we'll attack it to the best of our ability this morning and study together. But before we do that, we always welcome our regular listeners to the program. I don't have the chat window up, but want to thank each of you for appearing there today, ready to study God's Word. We're always grateful to Miss Frida that listens out there on 67. What a faithful listener she is, and I would imagine she's still full of chicken and dumplings, and she knows what I'm talking about. Glad to have my good wife Jody on board. Always thankful to have your spouse supporting you and encouraging you, and she does just that. Look forward to having my mother and father on normally, but Mom is on the way to Chicago today by flight, and so we wish her a happy and safe flight as she goes to visit my sister and her two wonderful kids. But anyway, we've got Jeff out there on the East Coast that listens as he delivers groceries. We've got Miss Ann and probably Mr. David down there in Winsboro. We've got Chris and them out there on the West Coast on their vacation that may be listening. Just so many of you out there that listen regularly. So thank you to each of you. And if I didn't mention your name, sorry about that. But nevertheless, glad to have you with us. We always begin normally with the opportunity to mention those things that are going on around us. And so let's do that. Monday, just 2 days ago, we had the opportunity to go to New Boston and listen to Kevin Colley knock it out of the park, if you will. About Jacob and the angel. And so that was a great opportunity, which was very well attended, I'm sure. I was not there, full confession. Next week at the University Congregation in Tyler, we're going to hear a discussion even by Marco Arroyo as he discusses Daniel and the lions. And so if you have the opportunity to go to that next Monday, go ahead and start planning on it. And then remember the upcoming dates are July 31st in Atlanta and August the 7th here, and then August the 14th at Oak Grove, and then also August the 21st as we wrap things up for the summer out at Blodgett with Elijah and the Prophets of Baal. I can hardly wait to hear that one. I love that particular event that happened there on Carmel, and we actually have one of those photos that we have put in to our next plug, which is our VBS that's coming up August the 10th, 11th, and 12th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so we're tickled to have the opportunity to talk about the power of God. Thursday, the creating power of God. Friday, the fighting power of God. And Saturday, we're talking about the saving power of God. And so we're going to have the opportunity with the children downstairs to have a class and a craft, and I'm looking at the idea of a game that has to do with each night's subject. And even into Saturday, we'll have a, I believe it's going to be like a hot dog lunch that's going to be taking place Saturday after our event about noon. So look forward to all those opportunities that are coming up, the next of which right away, even before the Vacation Bible School, is next week at the Power Lectures that are taking place from the 23rd to the 27th. And, of course, that goes on up in South Haven, Mississippi at the South Haven Church of Christ. And so they do a great job with that. And if you have not gone to the website and checked out the messengers that are going to be there, you should do that, because I have not the time nor the space to tell you all the wonderful things that I'm looking at right now. I'm seeing all these individuals like Cliff Goodwin, Steve Higginbotham, B.J. Clark, Glenn Colley, Denny Petrillo, Robert Taylor Jr. Do I need to say any more? It's going to be awesome as they talk about the end of time. All right, so that's going to be the power lectures that are taking place even next week up in South Haven, Mississippi. But then right around the corner, even beyond our VBS, on September the 15th through the 17th, there is a marriage and family seminar that's being held over at the Granbury Street Congregation, that is in Granbury, Texas. And they have invited you out to hear John and Carla Moore. And so if you have the opportunity to go out, they have invited you, and they assure you that there is child care available for ages 1 to 3, so don't let that hinder your decision to go. But Friday, the assembly begins at 7 p.m. Saturday, they regroup that morning with a general assembly at 9:30. And then Sunday, the regular Bible class settings and sermon setting begins at 9 a.m. there at the Granbury Street Church Christ. So if you can make your way down there for that event, you would not be disappointed. And then right around the corner in October, it's never too early now. Remember, it's never too early for you ladies to get registered for the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat 2017. And so if you're going to be able to do that, if you're going to be a part of that, it is October the 5th through the 7th down at Camp Brady, where a lot of our folks are even this week still. And if you have the opportunity to do that, you need to go ahead and get registered, okay? You need to get on the email at info@texasladiesinchrist.org. Right, to get registered. You can find the webpage at texasladiesinchrist.org, or you can use the old rotary telephone. Call them at 325-600-4143. Either way, get registered. There's a cost of the weekend for $60. My understanding is from ages 15 to 21, it's $30. And so find out more through those addresses that I gave you. If you missed them, just get in touch with us here through mornings@TGRN. You can call us here on your rotary dial telephone. You can call us here at 903-537-4129, and we can give you those addresses again. But either way, you can mark your calendars for the events that are coming up. From now all the way into October, we always try to have a full calendar for you if we can. But anyway, having said that, some 8.5 minutes into the broadcast already, I need to be getting to the passages ahead of us, don't we? With a passage this deep and this full of much the same message, you'll notice on your website, or perhaps you have, on the schedule section, that we're talking about praise this morning. So you're going to hear a lot of that repeated throughout these particular verses that we'll be sharing. And so I thought, a lot of this stuff really doesn't need a lot of extra comment. And so what I'm going to do is share a lot of the reading with you, right, that we can read the Bible together. And those of you that know me, when I have something pop in my head, I have to say it. And so as we go through that this morning together, let's read it together and try to make some observations, some commentary along the way, and hopefully I won't drag my feet through this beautiful passage of praise that is beginning here in Psalm 104 and verse number 1. Let's begin together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Well, I got to stop already. That's probably not a good sign. But listen at the way it begins. Oh, Lord, my God, thou art very great. Amen and amen. And again, you don't need a lot of commentary there. But I like this idea of clothed. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. You might think back to other passages, such as Daniel chapter 7. And there in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, he records, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. That's the same thing that I see here. Clothed with honor and majesty. That's the same thing that Daniel's trying to get across to me. White as snow, his hair was like pure wool. He's clothed with honor and majesty. Verse 2, who coverest thyself with lights as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Well, that wasn't a question, but it is a good question, isn't it? He did. The creator of the universe, God did. He laid the foundations when he spoke it into existence. He founded the earth upon her basis, is maybe a little closer to the Hebrew. You look over in Psalm 24, which is not too far away in our distant past in our study of the Psalms, at verse 2, the Bible says, he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Interesting, isn't it? But he laid the foundation. He did. Verse 6, thou coveredst it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. Sounds a little bit like we might be looking back at that flood, at thy command. Remember Genesis 8, you know, what do we see going on? We see this great rebuke as they recessed, right? As they went back to their place. You know, he caused it all to be created. And then when the wickedness was so great, he caused it all to be destroyed. And I had one instructor that told me that it was almost like God put his hand around the globe and just tipped it just a little bit and caused all of the destruction that we know as the universal flood. It was not a local flood, by the way. But reading on, they go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth, right? This is the great rainbow that has been set in the sky. Is that right? He has set a bound. It will not happen again. Not like that. Now, you go back over to 2 Peter chapter 3, and you get a little bit better explanation. In the last day, it won't be a flood. In the last day, it'll be a ball of fire. All that you know and see, all that you can touch and taste and feel right now, gone in the wink of an eye. That's how God's going to operate in the last day. So what manner of persons ought you be as we live here in this particular generation, continuing on in 2 Peter 3? Well, holy, blameless, right? We have a responsibility. But again, we go to preaching. Back to the text. He sendeth the springs, verse 10, into the valleys, which run along the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Notice that he takes care of everything, right? The world, the earth, this entire globe is satisfied with the fruit of thy works, the psalmist says, right? And how true that is. He takes care of it all. Jesus said that not even a sparrow goes unnoticed with God, right? And so he takes care of everything, verse 13. Verse 14 then, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. He takes care of all that. He takes care of those things that supply us in every way, right? Even as Jesus would point out that he takes care of sending the rain upon the just and the unjust, right? We experience his blessings every single day. Verse 15, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens man's hearts. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. And again, that's a gigantic reference. Anytime you see the cedars of Lebanon, that points to strength. I've seen some gigantic numbers of how large these trees actually grow. And so when you see the cedars of Lebanon mentioned, recognize right away that there's some sort of a reference there to strength and power. And they were planted by God. Truly, truly amazing. Verse 17, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, whew, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. If you've got a King James there with me, notice that big, whoosh, that explanation point right there. Do you see it? That is the explanation point above all. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Oh, boy, couldn't we just sit there and talk for a little while? The earth is full of his riches. You know, the church is full of all his blessings, right? Ephesians 1 and verse 3 might be a familiar verse to you. But the earth is full of his blessings. You know, one reference that I have here in my reference is Psalm 65 and verse 11. And the scripture says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Everything that God does is perfect. And certainly, how manifold are thy works, right? The earth is full of thy riches. And so we have a wonderful notice here, again, of, O Lord. And so notice that in that particular statement, notice how magnificently he is praised. Remember, our topic is praise, and that's all that's been uttered heretofore. Praise and more praise. Verse 25, so is this great and wide sea, wherein all things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. He supplies even the sea dragons, the sea monsters, this Leviathan, you know, that's mentioned even over there in Job's account. The behemoth that is this large sea creature, whatever it may be, this Leviathan is an amazing beast. But you know what? God even feeds it. These wait all upon thee. Verse 28, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou thou openest thy hand. They are filled with good. When he opens his hand, friends, nothing but good comes out. And even the Leviathan, even the birds of the air, all of these that God has created, he takes care of them. When he opens his hand. Verse 29, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the morning. And then finally, verse 35, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord. O my soul, praise ye the Lord. And so it begins in the same way that it ends. Bless the Lord. Thou, O Lord. O Lord, my God. And so have the opportunity today, not just in reading through this particular psalm to praise his name, but to use the mouth that God has given you for glory and honor. You know, you can use the internet for good or for bad. It's a choice that we make to use it for good, right? What about your telephone, right? What are you going to do with that phone today? I believe I guess we're allowed to say this, but there's a brother out there named Wes McAdams. And every time I open Facebook up, that man has posted something that glorifies God. And that's the way that I like to see Facebook used. We have our little jovial posts from time to time. Look at my children 5 years ago or whatever. And that's great. I don't have any problem with that. But the way that Brother Wes uses Facebook is the way that I'm looking at the psalmist here, because the psalmist says, as long as I live, I will sing unto the Lord, right? While I have my being. How long is that going to be? You got another 20 years? You got another 20 minutes, right? And so, praise ye the Lord. What a fantastic and marvelous way to begin our discussion together this morning. As you go into Psalm 105, really, To the simple Bible student like myself, it seems like just a continuance, because we're talking about all of his wonderful works, all the things that he has accomplished. And again, praise ye the Lord, you know. So as we begin Psalm 105, let's notice what the psalmist has recorded for us even today. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Well, that's an appropriate way to start. Give thanks unto the Lord. You know, when we're gathered together in these assemblies regularly here in Mount Vernon, we hear some of the most beautiful prayers. And maybe it's the same way where you worship. I hope it is. But just kind of guessing in the back of my mind, just kind of throwing a number out there, it seems to me like anywhere from 75% to 90% of the prayers that we hear here are all about thank you, Lord. Giving thanks, right? I mean, after all that he's done for us, I mean, who would not be able to say thank you? And so thank you for our overseers. Thank you for our deacons. Thank you for the Bible study that we're having today. Thank you for this recovery from this physical ailment. Thank you, and it goes on and on. And so there is a lot of thanks that is due to God for all that he has done, and that's the way the psalmist starts here. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Right? That's the idea of glorifying him. Glorify thy name, as we sing with the kids. verse 2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. You know what comment I've got to that? Amen. I mean, who wouldn't agree with that? Glory, verse 3, ye, glory ye, who? Me. If you're reading this, he's talking to you. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And immediately, since we are still in the Exodus here in our adult study, I begin thinking about that which has been accomplished just in our short study of 23 chapters. The coming through the Red Sea, and even before that, think about my lands, the delivery of Moses and the bulrushes. Think about the burning bush and the communication that took place between the creator of the universe and his servant Moses. The plagues that crushed Egyptian idolatry. And on it goes, right? As I read this, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. You think up into Joshua 2, when Rahab got to talk to the spies, she already knew what was coming, right? His judgments are in all the earth. There's not a piece of the earth that he doesn't control and judge and will continue to judge. Verse 8, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Remember right there at Sinai, he did that for them. Saying, verse 11, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. You remember back when they were but 75 people coming into a land that was given to them. Remember the Pharaoh gave them Goshen, and then they grew to be perhaps even millions, right, over the course of that 430-year period. But notice, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, verse 16, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, and even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood, slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. That was one of the most amazing things that I can even imagine. the land being filled with frogs. I've seen the cinematic productions that Hollywood's made of that, and I know that it doesn't compare to what really happened. But as the loved, the great beloved preacher David Baker once preached, one more night with the frogs. Who would make that decision? Yeah, you know, if my house is filled with frogs and I was given an opportunity when they should leave, I think I would have chosen right then and right there. But yet, there's the point of the lesson that Brother David would bring. So many people choose one more night with the frogs, one more night in sin, just one more night. But I digress. At verse 31, he spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. He spake, and the locusts came and caterpillars and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land and the chief of their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. You know, this is the same way that God forecasted this will take place. He told Moses early on that it wasn't going to be an overnight success. It was going to take some time because Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. And over and again, Pharaoh would say, yeah, you can go. You can go, just the men. You can go, but leave your cattle. You can go. And he had so many of these little toys that he would throw out there in front of Moses and them. And Moses would continue to say, how long will you continue with this trickery? And, you know, it really didn't change, even down to the Red Sea, because right when they were at what they thought was a dead end, who did they see but Pharaoh? Again, had gone back on his word. So at verse number 38, notice Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. You know, I would have wanted them gone too. Seems like as long as Israel was over there in Goshen, these horrible and terrible things kept befalling us, and now we've lost our firstborn sons. Yeah, I'd want them gone too. And so Egypt was glad when they departed. Verse 39, he spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven, that manna. Remember, what is it? Verse 41, he opened the rock and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. And so again, we have an opportunity to glorify God with the speech that comes out of us today, which, you know, frankly, seems like it's just been reading of his scriptures. Nothing wrong with that, is there? So we've had an opportunity here in Psalm 105 to look back at the magnificent work of God, and he goes back so very far, several times mentions Abraham, and now he remembers his promise. That goes back to Genesis 12, right? His promise that he made in the very long ago. He remembered, verse 42, his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. So by the time we have the opportunity, you and me in our studies, to get to the end of Genesis or Galatians chapter 3, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise. That'll send chills up your arms, friends, because God, even the psalmist recognized so very long ago, remembered his holy promise, and he's still remembering it today. Because each child that is raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, is given that promise. That is, as Peter would exclaim in his first letter, there is that inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Your name has been put on that eternal paradise. When you came up out of that grave in obedience to the gospel, having heard and believed, having repented of your past sins and never to commit them again, confessing the deity of Jesus Christ the same way that Peter did in that monumental passage, which is Matthew 16, and then going down into that watery grave of baptism where we contact the blood, right? We know that because of so many passages. One that comes to mind is 1 Peter 3 and verse number 21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, right? That location where our sins are washed away, right? Acts 22 and verse 16. And by the way, as Paul, once Saul, is telling about his conversion there, I regularly say as often as I can, have you murdered anybody? Have you brought others to be fed to the lions or tormented in some passage, in some way? You haven't? Really? Well, Saul did. Saul did in all good conscience. And God washed his sins away. Because that's what he relates to us of the account that takes place in Acts 9. In chapter 22 here, he tells us that Ananias preached the gospel to him, and of those words were, arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And when you take that calling on the name of the Lord and go back to Romans chapter 10, you'll soon find out that that is calling on his authority. Easily understood. And so call on his authority, not some man's authority, but calling on the name of the Lord. And so, yes, as the psalmist says, praise ye the Lord, because he is remembering his holy promise. And again, as we mentioned in Galatians 3, and Abraham his servant. What a phenomenal passage this was. But with the time that we have left, we got a little bit more than 20 minutes. We might be able to do some justice here to God's perfect word. If that even makes sense. Can you say that? Anyway, you know what I meant. In Psalm 106 and verse number 1, we begin reading together the same thing that we just finished in 105. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And again, you know, what better way to start? And so, again, I'm not sure who made our schedule here on TGRN, but these three passages were linked together very masterfully because each one of these psalms that we are sharing today have much the same meaning. We're talking about the praise of God, and what a joyful opportunity it is here on a Wednesday morning to be able to say over and again, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Verse 2, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Verse number 6, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. And, you know, again, we have been studying that here in our adult class. And so soon removed from Egypt, you know, with treasure in hand, booty, with spoil in hand. And they begin to ask Moses, there weren't enough graves out in Egypt. You had to bring us out here to die. Here we are at a dead end. You got a mountain on one side. You got water on the other side. You got desert on another side. And you got Pharaoh on the other side. We're boxed in. Way to go, Moses. And so notice the psalmist says, look, even when they got at the Red Sea, they didn't remember the multitude of thy mercies. They didn't remember that after the third plague, Goshen didn't experience a single one of those plagues. And they were given an exit strategy for the 10th plague so that it didn't affect them either. No, they didn't remember that, the psalmist says. But you know what? He blessed them. Even though they would stand and provoke him, Moses would say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And boy, did he show it in a magnificent way. Look at verse 9. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness, that is, on dry ground. Verse 10, he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of his enemy, right? Here it is. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise, right? The song of Moses on the other side, that is Exodus 15. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. How quickly was it that they immediately jumped out and made a golden calf and said, these be thy gods that delivered thee out of Egypt. What a disappointment as God would look down from the top of Sinai as he would visit those 40 days with Moses. They soon forgot his works. They lusted exceedingly and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. You remember they begged for meat. And so he gave them quail, and while it was yet in their teeth, they would give up the ghost. Be careful what you ask for, friends. He gave them their request. Verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. You remember, we go back to Numbers, was it 16? I believe it was Numbers 16 with the rebellion of Korah. You don't challenge the leadership of God. It doesn't turn out well. Ask all of them that got swallowed up there, some 250 plus that day, as they were swallowed up by the earth, buried alive. The earth opened up and swallowed them. Remember verse 17. Swallowed up Dathan and covered up the company of Abiram, and a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. That word Savior is a wonderful and marvelous word in and of itself. You know, Jesus is our Savior, right? Jesus is our Deliverer. And interestingly, when you look into the book of Judges, if you weren't already fully aware, I bet you good Bible students are already aware, but each time that God would send a judge, he would send them a Savior. He would send them a Deliverer, right? One to bring them out of that hole that they had dug for themselves, right? That's God's mercy as he looks down on pity. In pity on us who have dug a hole for ourselves. And when we, like the child in Luke 15, come to ourselves and realize what we've done, then he extends that grace. And he allows us to repent and confess and come away from that. You see, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done those great things in Egypt. you know, the wondrous works in the land of Ham and terrible things by the Red Sea. They forgot all that stuff. Verse 23, therefore, he said that he would destroy them. And had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. Continuously, Moses would intercede for them. Certainly, I remember, the mocking, the murmuring that took place in such a horrible fashion that suddenly there were serpents in all the camp, and the people were bitten by these venomous vipers and were dying. And Moses was pleading with God, please stop this. And so, as they had the opportunity then, God said, look, make a brazen serpent, right? Make the brazen serpent that they may look upon it, and I will forgive them, and they will live. And he did that immediately, and all those that faithfully looked into that serpent, that brazen serpent, would not die from the snake bites. You know, even when we turn away, God still continues to have pity on us. But we have to do something to get out of the hole that we've dug, right? The prodigal had to come to himself and go home, Luke 15, had to do something. He couldn't just sit there and ask Jesus to come into his heart. He had to do something, didn't he? He had to get up and he had to go. And the same thing is true way on back in Israel, right? Israel had to over and again, you know, even here, look at the serpent. And so if they just said, oh, Lord, save me, and didn't look at the serpent, guess what? Death. And so each time that we see God looking down and with his loving favor, we see that man has to react to that favor. And again, we're off on our soapbox, so let's return to the text. In verse 25, they murmured in their tents. They murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them into lands, or in the lands, I'm sorry. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. Notice their inventions. Your inventions, our inventions, will always displease him, especially primarily what I'm talking about here is in worship, in service to him. We must perform in the way that he has subscribed, the same way here. That's what we're seeing here in verse 29. They provoked him to anger with their inventions. several good examples of that, but again, I noticed that with about 10 minutes here, I'm running out of time. Love to preach some more on that. Verse 30, then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. Verse 32, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. Uh-oh. Remember to do what the Lord says to do, and to do it completely. Verse 35, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. And boy, this goes way back into the Exodus account, my friends, where he was warning them, Don't follow after those things that they will show you. You know, cut down their groves, break down their altars, kill the people, utterly destroy even that which King Saul didn't completely understand. But again, that's another sermon. Verse 37, yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Look up Molech M-O-L-E-C-H. Look up Molech sometime in your private studies. Use a Bible dictionary or something and see about the grotesque nature of that idol worship. Oof. Verse 39, they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. There it is again. That which we make up, that which we invent, that is not dictated by God, is referred to here as going a-whoring after what we want, as opposed to doing simply what God has asked. And verse 40, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. It sounds a little bit like the beginning of Genesis there, about chapter 6, doesn't it? So much wickedness. Verse 41, he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them. Again, remember the judges. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Verse 44, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. You know, he's acting the same way today. He's listening. Friends, he's listening. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Immediately in my little finite brain, I'm reminded of our good brother Tommy Mullins. I love to hear him lead singing. And after a song that he leads, just about every song anyway, he'll say, and the church said, Amen. And so let it be. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Boy, there's a sermon. We don't quite get the eternity picture. And I speak for myself. I'm not speaking for you now, but it's hard for me to understand that from everlasting to everlasting. You know, our cars break down. Our cars, you know, are taken to the dump and dropped off like daily trash. You know, we don't really understand everlasting. But friends, God is absolutely everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting. The same thing that we studied with adults here, even in our recent studies in the Exodus. From everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say Amen. So be it. My friends, this has been a phenomenal study that we've been able to have together this morning. And you know what it was? It was reading the Bible. Very little comment did I offer, because not much was needed. When you come to a passage like this, sometimes I'm very guilty of overthinking it. I readily accept that burden because I like to be helpful. But you know what? In this particular passage this morning, it speaks for itself. You know, the Bible always speaks for itself. You don't need a preacher necessarily to help you understand all passages. This one here, as we have the opportunity to look back at the wonderful works that God has accomplished, the blessings that Israel has received, the blessings that we can see are still coming to us today, even as we talked about Abraham. Friends, God is good. So praise ye the Lord. I'm incredibly thankful for the time that we've had together this morning. And I just want us to remember those several words. God is good. You know, James says that all good and perfect things are from above. And so we have to remember that those things that we are seeing on a daily basis, man, he really loves us. And so bless each one of you for being with us this morning. I appreciate the time that you've given to the Gospel Radio Network. We hope that you'll take the opportunity to keep it on. I mean, let it continue playing today, because right behind me is Kevin Ruiz, and then our wonderful brother that works so magnificently in Atlanta, Texas, John McCormack. He is coming on there at the 10:30 hour. We have the Truth and Love that comes up the Gospel of Christ. I was skipping days there. And then I've heard so many just phenomenal comments on our good brother Pope Joy that comes to us out of San Angelo, Texas, Wednesday. Today he is going to be discussing that same title that he does every Wednesday, Hallowed Be Thy Name. There's so many titles in the Bible that are given to God. And so we need to understand those titles. We need to do some investigation into them. And that's on Wednesday what Rick Popejoy does. And so listen all day long, friends. Hope you keep it on. You know, when you get out and about, you know, keep your earbuds in, whatever you need to do. But listen all day long. And I hope you'll understand the blessing that is TGRN. Pray for the work. Tell others about the work. Let's get this thing worldwide, even deeper than it already is. Love each one of you. And boy, we thank you for being with us today and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, even sharing these Psalms 104, 5, and 6 with us today. And we look forward to the beginning of number 107 tomorrow, if the Lord wills, from a good brother, Chris McElyea. He always does a wonderful job, so stay tuned to that. Love each one of you, and I hope you have a great morning for the Master.